Thank you for being the God that you are. And this morning, Lord, as we look into your word together, it seems obvious that this is where you would have us. Looking at these two passages that you have continued to press upon my heart and what you pressed upon Donna's heart and Tom's this morning as well. Lord, lead us and guide us. Your word says that you are the head of the church, the head of this body that you have set apart unto yourself. Help us, Lord. Help us to grasp and understand all that you would have for us this morning, and then not just add information to our brains, Lord, but then to know how we need to live this out in each one of our lives. Use me, Lord, as you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now it's my turn to pick on Tom, since we were picking on you, and then you can pick on me later. You can tell that he hasn't known me for very long. You know how he can tell that? To those of you who have introduced myself, how do I introduce myself? Thomas. The office knows that if someone calls and asks for Tom, it's a sales call. They don't know me. All right? So first thing you need to know about me is I am Thomas. All right. So two passages I want us to look at. One of the passages has been read already. I'm going to connect back with that in a second, but I want to read to you from Isaiah 43 as well. So if you are heading there on your phones or in your iPads, you know, I don't have one of those gizmos, so I actually use paper for now. So I got to tell Pastor Kirk about that. By the way, Pastor Kirk texted me this morning and said, I'm praying for you. Him and I had arranged for me to come and speak at SIO long ago. And it worked out well for his family to be down with Rachel, and that's a good thing. And we can continue to keep her in prayer. It worked well. Isaiah 43 is where we're going. SIO church family, thank you, guys. Thank you for being our church family. We left a ministry down in Perrysburg, Ohio, and they have been our church family for the last 13 years, and it was a hard place to leave. A loving, caring church family. And we came with a very specific goal of finding a church family where we can come and be used as God would want us to use us. And we only visited one church family one time. It was here at SIO, and all four of us, when I got in the car, I asked the question. All four of us said the exact same thing. We found our church home. There's something powerful here that God is doing. And all four of us knew we were supposed to be here, alongside of you, part of his body here. Verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. If you go down to verse 10, it says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior." Maybe you're not used to connecting these two passages, but this morning I want to connect two passages for you. What I want to do this morning is mess with your sunglasses. I want to mess with the lens that you perceive your life with. I want to biblically challenge you to look at life the way that God looks at life. Your life and mine, the life that He has given us according to His purposes. I want to mess with your sunglasses. Colossians 1, the passage that was read for us. I'm going to go to one small section since most of it was read to us already. "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." And I'm going to read that to you again. "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things were created through Him and for Him." You and I were created by God, and you and I were created for God. You and I were created by God, and we were created for God. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go say hi to somebody. I want you to pay attention to somebody that you don't know. Okay? And I want you to go and tell that person, "Hey, hi, my name is Thomas. You were made for God, you were made by God." It doesn't matter the order. I want you to tell them those two things. You were made by God, for God. You were made for God, by God. Okay? Go. Say hi. I'll call you back. You were made by God, for God. You were made by God, for God. Did you know that? All right. You were made by God, for God. Yeah? Yeah. All right, family. All right, let's head back to our seats. Let's head back to our seats. So as you're heading back to your seats, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the person next to you, right next to you. All right, it may be your family member, it may be someone here at the church family, whatever. I want you to look at somebody right next to you and tell them, "You were made by God, you were made for God." Anyone here ever wonder, "Why in the world am I here?" I want to give you answers to a lot of why questions today, okay? Especially when things get really hard, we ask that question of why, and sometimes we don't hear an answer from anywhere. I want to tell you the why. You were made by God for Him. You were made by God for God. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of everything, that He might be preeminent, in that everything Christ might have the supremacy. Depending on the version you have, you hear those two words, preeminent, first, above everything. Supreme, all supremacy belonging to Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Do you hear the echo of Isaiah 43? Everyone who is called by My name, whom I created for My glory, whom I formed and made. You are My witnesses, God says. You are My witnesses. I am their Lord. I am their Savior. There is no God other than Me. You hear it? Those two verses are linked. We're not here by accident. There's not one person here who was an accident. I don't care what your family told you. I don't care what your brothers or sisters told you. I don't care what this world has told you. You were made by Him. You were made for Him. By the way, if anyone falls asleep, I come over and wake you up. Oh, I thought I'd just mention that. Sorry. Absolutely amazing passages to me, passages that changed my life. Because I wondered for a long time why in the world I was here. Everything that was ever made, everything that exists, is existent because of Him, made by Him, made for Him. It's all about Him. It's all about His glory. It's all about who God is. And this is right. This is right. That it is about Him. His glory. What does the word glory mean? We use it a lot. The word glory is talking about revealing something, revealing the incredible character of the wonderful God. To show something, to describe something, but more than that, to somehow embody the making real of this incredible being who is God. Glory also, if you look in the dictionary, also is talking about praise. It is talking about lifting up something, not magnifying in the sense of we are somehow making God bigger, but we are revealing the incredible awesome. That word is perfect for God. The awesome nature of who He is shows up. When glory is what we live for, His glory. Man always lives for some kind of glory. It doesn't matter who the man is, it doesn't matter who the woman is, it doesn't matter who the child is. We live to reveal the truth about something, someone. To magnify, to bring praise to something or someone. All of us do. Everyone in this room does. The question is, who is it that we glorify? Because we were made for the glory of the one true God. The fact that design violation has occurred does not change this reality that God has made everything that there is for His glory. You know what the Bible calls design violation? There's a word. Sin. Sin is simply that. What God has designed has been violated. That is the definition of sin. The design that God had was for everything to bring Him glory. Does everything on the earth and in our hearts bring Him glory? No. Every aspect of human existence has been touched, has been affected by the reality of design violation. And that design violation has consequences that come with it. Sin brings glory and praise to other things, whether men or objects or things instead of God. Sin is design violation. When Adam and Eve commit the first sin, listen to the question. Listen to what the enemy describes to them. If you eat of this fruit, God is trying to keep you from this because He does not want you to be like Him. He knows that your eyes will be opened and you can determine for yourself what good and bad is what He tells them, right? Those of you who know Genesis 3 know that. He doesn't want you to eat of the fruit because the glory will be of yours. It will be for you. You get to be God. By the way, that is the very reason Satan is thrown out of heaven, was because he was trying to be God. Snatching glory, attempting to snatch glory from the only one who deserves the glory. Here's the good news. The only one who could give us good news was God Himself. He has sent His Son. The only one through whom, although completely human, did not violate design. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. In fact, Jesus says this even as He ministers among the people. He says, everything that I do for the Father's glory. Do you understand what He is saying? With the description of glory that I just gave you, what is He saying? I will not submit to design violation. I will live for the glory of God, which is exactly what Hebrews 4 says. Tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet was without sin. He did not violate the design. He did everything. He says it over and over again. Everything I do for the Father's glory. It's the very thing He was on the earth for. To glorify God. The very thing that you and I are here for. To glorify God. The very thing that the mountains and the streams do all by themselves. Dave, as you mountain bike down a mountain, And take in the trees and all that is beautiful around you. Any trail walkers here? Any climbers here? As you go up into places that's remote and away from everything, as you look at the grandeur of what's there, every person comes to a place where they go, and that is what you and I were made for. I don't know, how do you put that into words? I don't know how to spell it either, don't ask me. The awe is what you were made for. That's what I was made for. That's what people were made to do when they saw God in and through our lives, because we were made, according to His Word, to reveal His glory, correct? The one through whom all things were created has become the one solution for man and the consequences that come from design violation. Through Him, not only will the consequences for design violation be paid for on the cross, but through His resurrection, there's something else that happens. Not only is everything that He said true, the proof is in the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, we are as men without hope, wasting our lives. But the resurrection brings a peace in it that takes us further than where mankind was. Not only were we corrupted by this design violation that took place, not only were the consequences eternal death, death here physically, but eternally separated from God. Jesus comes, He pays for those consequences, yes, and then He goes further. He gives us the ability to live according to design. He puts within us His Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us, enabling us to live according to God's design. So we're not just lost, broken sinners. That's who we were. We don't want to forget that. But Christ has not come to leave us there. He has come and entered our life so that we no longer have to live in design violation. So that we no longer have to live for some other glory. So that we can live our days. Whether you have 20 days left, whether you have 20 years left, you can live. I can live to the glory of God as He has made us to live. You guys tracking with me so far? Yeah, mostly? A couple of people are nodding as sleep has taken over. I'm listening, Pastor. This is actually exciting news. By the way, those of you who are not sure that what I'm saying is accurate, please go and check John 17, okay? It is the high priestly prayer that Jesus prays for His disciples, for us today as well, okay? Watch and see what it is He is praying for. He is praying for the Father to reveal all glory through Him and for us to be a part of that also. Check it out. In the context of Isaiah 43 and Colossians 1, check out John 17. It'll blow your mind when you make the connection. It's there. It's exactly what He's praying for. You and I were made for His glory. Turn to that person next to you, or somebody else maybe. Turn around if you can. Tell somebody behind you. Those of you sitting by the wall, tell the person in front of you. You guys thought you were going to get away with that. Tell them, you were made by Him, you were made for Him. Go ahead. So here's the amazing thing. You guys, I am messing with your sunglasses this morning, but it takes me a huge leap to get there. I'm trying to lead you through as quick as I can here, okay? So that we don't end up spending dinner here. I don't think there's that many bagels, is there, Ben? Nope, they're all gone. We can't even depend on Panera Bread. All right. Here's the amazing thing about living for God's glory. According to design. It means that what the natural man wants, sees, feels, wants to live for, are all going to be challenged. How many people here like change? Please put your hands up. Yeah, that was like about 4 or 5 people. Most of us don't do well with change. But you know what? If you chose to follow Christ, when He said, follow me, come follow me, He was inviting you to a life of change. By the way, we have a fancy theological term for that. It's called sanctification. It's all about change. Who we were, God accepted us, loved us, accepted us, took us in exactly where we were, just as I am. But you know what? He doesn't leave us there. Just as I am is not, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be where I was. But He doesn't leave us there. The whole process of transformation, of living for His glory, challenges what is natural to us. The natural response is now an issue to us. This is why Paul is writing and saying, oh, wretched man that I am! What is wrong with me? This is the Apostle Paul. He's going, the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. The things that I don't want to do, I end up keeping on doing. What a wretched man that I am. What hope do I have? He says, Christ in me is the hope of glory, is what he says. The only hope of us living for the glory of God, for that sanctification process to take hold and change us. Peter says that we are not called, as believers, we are not called to live natural lives anymore. We are called to live supernatural lives. This is how Peter writes it. He says, you are going to be considered as aliens and strangers. People are going to look at you and think you have 3 heads. Because instead of condemnation that should be coming from your mouth, comes blessing. Instead of a response of rage, comes forgiveness. He says the world is going to look at you and go, yeah! He's an alien! How else can you explain what you see? He's not of this world. You get it? That's what we're invited to come and live like with Jesus. God says that we are here for Him, for His name, for His glory, for His purposes, for His namesake. In a group of this size, I can guarantee you there's at least one, but I think there's more than one person going. So if all of this is about God and it's for God, what's in it for me? Do we really believe that all this, every moment of our being, every possession that we have, every cell in your body, every single thing that is about us, is really here for God's glory? Do we really believe it? I'm not talking about believe it. I'm talking about believe it. Do we really believe that? I know the pious religious answer. It's all about Jesus. I know the church answer to this. Is that really how we live our lives? Is that really who we are? Is this the perspective that we come to all things with? Joy, victory, suffering, persecution, whether in want or in plenty. Is this really what we come in with? I am here for Him. I am here by His design. I am here for His glory, not mine. Let me ask that question a different way. Pet people here? Any people that like cats and dogs, that kind of pets? because those are the only two I'm going to talk about. And you're going to see my bias really quickly. Okay, I'm a dog person, so cat people. All right. Do you guys know what dog theology and cat theology is? Anyone here know what dog and cat theology is? Sort of? Yeah, okay. A few of you know. Okay, what is this? All right. For the rest of you, let me explain it, okay? So the question I'm asking, when I'm asking about the glory of God, the question I'm asking is really this cat theology, dog theology question. Here's how dog theology works. A dog comes to his master in this way. Master, you feed me, you pet me, you put a roof over my head, you take care of my every need. Master, you must be God. A cat. Why are you guys laughing? A cat says, you pet me, you feed me, you take care of every one of my needs, you put a roof over my head, you make sure that I am taken care of, I must be God. There are an incredible number of believers who live cat theology. You take care of me. You feed me. You give me promises. You give me blessings. You give me all of these things. I must be God. God, you exist for me. Oh, it's all about God. Yes, but you exist for me. I'm so great that you sent your son to die for me. I'm so wonderful that you went to the cross for me. Is that the truth of Scripture? Enemies of God with no excuse. That's who Scripture says I was before Christ. Is it because I am so wonderful, because I am God, that God rescued me? Is He on my side because I am so wonderful? That is the teaching of cat theology. You know how you can tell really quickly which camp you're in? Here's how you can tell. I'll give you a test. Test question. And if you don't want eye contact with me, look down now. I'm giving you permission. This stuff is too convicting. Look down. Okay? I don't know you people well enough to actually be in your homes or hear your conversation. So I don't know if this applies to you. Here's how you can tell if you are a cat theology or a dog theology person. It is your response when God has said no. It doesn't matter what it is. But this is for my good! But God, I can't think of anything better than this. Why would you not bless me? Why? 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 Why won't you say yes to me? I know that this person is who I'm supposed to be with the rest of my life. Work it out! I know that this promotion is what I'm supposed to have. I know that this toy is what I'm supposed to get for Christmas. I know! I know! I know! This is me! And God says no. What's your response? What's my response? It tells us what we believe about God. It tells us very clearly and very quickly whether He is here for my glory or if I am here for His glory. It is when the pain sinks in. It is when somebody abuses us. It is when somebody hurts us in a way that we never imagined was possible. It's when all of the stuff gets messed up and we start screaming out to God, "Why me?" It's in those moments that the reality of the theology we live shows up. Am I here for Him? Or am I here for me? So much of our living and our perspective that we see the world with is infiltrated with design violation. so much of it. Pay attention, guys, to the words of worship songs. Okay? I'm talking about hymns and choruses. I don't really care which camp you fall in. I care about the theology that you and I live with. I told my kids, as they were growing up, I've told them, I don't care who you're listening to, but I want you to pay attention to the words that you are listening to, because the words are everything in the song. But it's a catchy tune. It doesn't matter. Listen to what you are listening to. Same with worship music. Listen to what you are listening to. Some of them feed. It's all about me. Some of them feed. The reality of it all being about Christ. Him having the supremacy. Pay attention. I can give you examples, but I'm going to torque some of you off real fast, so I won't go there. I still have to be in this church family after I preach. The other churches I can leave. Here I'm not leaving. So much movies, songs, pieces of all kinds of things around us continually tell us that the values, the reality, the worldview that we should be coming into is get as much as you can in this life. It's all about you, isn't it? How many commercials tell us, well, you deserve all this stuff, don't you? How many of them say that? In fact, the entire advertising industry, I'm sorry if I'm offending somebody here with one of the advertising agencies, but it is what it is, and you guys know it. That's what marketing is all about. You need to create a need inside the person that tells them without this particular thing, they are going to perish. This is what their entire life is about. And we buy it. Whether we are the church or not. Within the church, this shows up in lots of different ways. And you guys know some of those ways. I'm thankful that in the time I've been here, I've not heard those battles within this church. But I'm not really surprised when I do. Because this attitude of it's all about me is within the church also. Those are not the right chairs to sit in a church. Why? Because I don't like it. Those are not the right songs to sing. That's not the right place to stand. That's not the right atmosphere to have. Why? Because I don't like it that way. Is that really why we're here as the church? Really? Are we asking the question about what God thinks about this? But this is rampant. This view of things being about our glory is rampant. So if we live for His glory, here's what it looks like. We live according to His plans. God has amazing plans that He wants to work in and through our lives. We don't always get it. We don't even understand sometimes how the simple things that are going on, simple things that He tells us to do, how they are going to impact somebody's life. We don't even know. I have been astonished just with a simple thing of how are you today? You can ask that question. We ask that question all the time, right? So how you doing? What we want to hear is, fine. Because why? I only had half a second here. Please don't tell me your life story is what we're saying, right? But if we actually ask that question, how are you doing? And you spend time listening to that person and the things they have walked through this week, we have no idea what impact that can have. But God has amazing plans when we live for His glory, when we live to reveal Christ in us, who is the hope of glory. When we live for that purpose, it's very different than living for ourselves. If we live for His glory here, we live according to His plans. He opens doors. Our attitude that we come to each day with is that question of what has God got planned, not how does God fit into my plans today. Right? If this is about Him, He orders my days. I have a schedule. He orders my days. If we live for His glory here, we live with Jesus as Lord. I am amazed how many believers, mature believers, do not understand the word Lord. It means master, owner, is what it means. Master, owner. That means whatever He says goes. No questions asked. Is that really what we signed up for? So many of us signed up for Jesus as Savior. We didn't sign up for the Lord part. We want the fire insurance, right? We want to make sure we don't go to hell. We didn't sign up for, come follow me. Jesus never makes that separation. It's either both, or it is neither. It's neither. Jesus as Lord is the next piece of how this shows up. We follow marching orders given by Him. But I really want to watch that show, Lord. But it's full of garbage, child. It's messing up your head. But I really want to watch that show. I don't care what everyone else thinks about it. I don't care what you think about it. I want to watch that show. How far does this Lord thing apply? Is He really master over everything, including my phone? So it matters what I surf on and find on my phone? My computer matters? The places I go in my car matters? The conversations that I'm having with people matters? Third piece, it involves risk and change. Risk and change. This kind of living, living for God's glory, means that He's going to ask us to step into things at times, many times, that we're not comfortable with. We've never walked this way before. But God wants us there. Is that okay for Him to make that call? Really? See, I was okay with most of that until it became about my kids. When the risk started touching them, the leap for me was much bigger. You can do whatever you want with me, but please don't ask my kids that. Is it only some part of us, or is it all of us? Walking for His glory, living for it, means risk and change. Fourth piece of this is that God uses our weakness. If we live for His glory, God uses our weakness. Probably not your strength. Can I give you a common sense answer as to why? So say God comes to my brother and He says, I'm going to use you. Okay? First thing most of us do is, here, Lord, here are all the things I'm good at. And God says, that's nice. I gave you those things, but I don't want any of that. I want to use you to preach. I want to use you to do something that you're going to be broken at. Maybe it's not that specific. Maybe it's broken things in your life. And mine. And He says, here's how I'm going to use you. And you go, I don't know how to do that. I'm not any good at that. Good. Because that's where I'm going to use you. Why? Because when the person sees what is going on through you, they look at what is happening and they're not looking at you or me because they know we are weak vessels. They look and see the power of God at work within us. Whoa. So if I do a good job, I want people to come and say, what a great job you did, right? No. According to Scripture, Matthew 5, Jesus says that when you do good works, the point of the good works is that when men see your good works, they will turn and praise your Father in heaven. It ain't about you and me. It's about Him. Correct? If He uses something that's strong, men and women will come and say, what a great job you did. And you know what our response is? Thank you. I know I'm that good. When He uses us, despite our brokenness, our only answer can be, wow, how did you get that out of that? Praise God, man. Praise God. Those of you who feel intimidated by the things that God calls you to, I want to tell you, God wants to use you so that His name is made famous. His name and His renown is what the earth sees, not ours. Is that okay? You know, you guys are really good. You all are awake still. This is good. I'm finishing up. When we are living for the glory of God, this is true in all cases, but particularly as we are focusing in on living the life that God has called us to live, to reveal His glory, the impact of our choices affect everyone around us. Broken choices that we make affect people around us. Someone decides to get drunk and drive, they're going to kill somebody, they affect everyone around them. Okay? Living lives to the glory of God also impacts other people. Because the lives that God has arranged around us, every single person that God has put in your neighborhood, around the home that you're in, around the apartment that you're in, wherever you are, the circle that God has put around you, He has put you right in the middle of that to affect people's lives with His glory. Anyone here going out to eat after service today? You know what? You have a waitress that's going to walk up to your table. The reason she walked up is because God meant to affect her life with yours today. I want you to think about that. Why has He put you where He has put you? It is to impact the people's lives around you with His glory, so that they see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. This stuff is not just like this theory stuff, right? We talk about the glory of God and wanting God's glory to come down upon us. Those are things that have happened already. His glory has come down upon us. He lives in us. He wants to reveal. You are my witnesses. He wants to reveal Himself through us if we will only let Him. He will use us. I asked this question before. So what's in it for me? Seems like God gets all the... What's in it for me? I can tell you. What's in it for you and I is that we get to be a part of a plan and a story that God has been writing from the beginning of creation all the way to the end. You and I get to play a part in that story. God is going to affect history through your life and mine. Is that amazing? People say young people want a call, a cause to live for. Can you think of a call or a cause bigger than what Christ has set us to do? Go, impact the world for me. Tell them that they were made for me. Change their lives forever. What's in it for you? What's in it for me? We get to be a part of this plan. The plan of the greatest one that ever lived. We get to live the life that we were made for. Things that we were made to do. The very specific design that God has given you. When He knit you together in your mother's womb, He purposed, He planned every single day of your life. He set them apart. He ordained every one of them. He wrote them in His book before one of them came to be. That's Psalm 139, by the way. You get to live what He planned. And you get to see the whole world come and worship your God. Because He tells us the end already. We get to stand with all those who have lived this life of glory. We get to stand before the throne with people that are from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people group. We will be standing there alongside of them because of the way that God has revealed His glory through you and through me. We get to live satisfied lives. Isn't it amazing? How many people reach the pinnacle of their career? They reach things that no one has ever done before. And then some of them commit suicide. Some of them are desperate and broke, living lives without any kind of meaning or purpose, wandering around. These are people who went all the way to the top and are empty when they get there. You know why? They weren't made for that. They were made to be satisfied by God Himself. And what they missed was huge. They missed Him in the process of the climb. We were made for Him. Our satisfaction comes from living a life for Him. Jesus had this choice to make every single day of His life, as you and I did, as you and I do. Jesus had this choice to make. That's what Hebrews tells us. He had a choice every day. Do I live for the Father's glory? Do I live for my own? Men tried to make Him a king. Men tried to out Him so that everyone would see that He was the Messiah. He keeps stopping them. Why? Time is not right. This is not the place. The Father will reveal me in all the glory. But this is about the Father's glory. I am following design. I am not going to the left, going to the right. I'm staying exactly where God wants me. You and I have that choice every single day. I grew up in a family with abuse and addictions of many kind. Before a single word was on my mouth, I had already been destroyed in many parts of my being. Before I could even say a word. I knew I was broken. From very little on, I knew I was messed up and I was broken. I knew that this pot, this earthen vessel that I was, had lots of cracks in them. Cracks, some of them that are not fixable, they just are broken. And every place that God has taken me to go to, every single place that He has taken me to, those broken, messed up weaknesses in me is what He takes and says, and I'm going to use you to reach into this person's life. And I'm going to reach into this person's life. Every church I've been in, every counseling agency I've worked in, the broken pieces of me is what He steps into and says, now let me show you something, child. Watch me work. I'm not here for Thomas George or Tom George to become famous. It really doesn't matter. Scripture says that the wind will blow over the place where I am as a flower, and I'm gone. But if I have lived my life for the reason that I was created for, in the process of that little life, God will have done things for His glory. That's all that matters anyway. I used to be angry for all of the abuse and the hurt and the messed up thinking that I grew up with. But as I have understood the reason for which I am here, I am thankful to God, honestly, genuinely thankful to God. Because the broken stuff is what He wants to use. Is God here for our glory, or are we here for His glory? Guys, I know it's over time of when Pastor Kirk lets us out, but can I ask you guys a question to just make sure, a test? Quick test, you don't have to answer, you just have to think the answer, okay? I'll know. God knows. But I want to ask you a question just to check and see if today's passages have stuck in our mind, okay? So here's my question. I want to read two scriptures to you. I want you to check and see what your reaction is when you hear the passage. Was God here for my glory, or am I here for His glory? First passage, Matthew 5. I actually mentioned this passage earlier, so it's the easier connection. I'll give you the easy one of the two. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. By the way, the world also tells us to let our light shine so that we'll be a big star. But you notice what Jesus says? Did you hear God's glory in the verse? It should have been pretty obvious. 2nd verse, harder verse. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions, this is a man who has been stoned and whipped and imprisoned, left for dead, writing this verse. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If I haven't managed to adjust your sunglasses this morning, you heard that second verse and went, fair. That's not okay that bad stuff is going to happen to us. It's not okay that bad stuff happened to Paul. But if your glasses have been adjusted, you heard. I am here for the glory of God. No matter what it is that comes into my life, my Father knew. My Father knew. He will use this for His glory. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this church family. I thank You for the way that it is obvious You are at work within this part of Your body. And Lord, I know from my own walk with You that for a long time I walked believing that You were here for my glory to be established. I would never say it that way, but my beliefs about You sure were centered around me. Maybe this morning someone's eyes have been opened. And hearing these verses, thinking through these things, maybe this morning that challenge is before them. If they are to live for Your glory or for their own, everything around us, Lord, the sports events, the commercials, every aspect of our society says that we are here for our own glory. But the call that You make to us in the Scriptures is supernatural. You tell us that we are here for Your glory and that we are to live out our lives accordingly. Maybe someone here this morning is for the first time considering it. Lord, strengthen their walk as they start down this path. Maybe someone here, Lord, knew this already for a long time and yet has gone wandering off believing the lies of the enemy. This morning, Lord, I pray that You would reclaim lost, stolen property to You. Your word says that we are Yours. And what the enemy steals, he intends to destroy, but You are able to keep us safe. So I pray and ask for Your safety to draw us back to You. Father, I pray for encouragement for those who have been living this life and are getting pummeled by the world and its system, by the enemy and his attacks. Maybe even from within their own families, there is a challenge to live some other way other than for Your own glory. Father, I pray for You to strengthen them and provide what is needed for them. How amazing You are, Lord. You could have wiped everything out and started again. But it is not the story You had planned. You are drawing men from every nation because of Your grace and Your love and Your compassion. You are drawing people from every corner of the earth, calling to them, give them up, they are My children. Formed and made for You. All for Your glory and Your praise. Lead us, Lord, from here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're going home, I want you guys to remind each other, okay? Kids, tell your parents this. Tell them as many times as you can between here and home. Wow, what am I setting up? Tell them many times, okay? Not as many times as you can, but tell them many times, Dad, Mom, you were made by Jesus for Jesus. Parents, tell your children, you were made by Jesus, for Jesus. It is the only way that you and I can keep our lenses clear to be able to see the way ahead. Church family, you were made by Jesus, for Jesus.